Channel One Riot, beginning of the short visit with Bob Haberlin, this Monday, the 14th of January, 74. Channel One Riot, beginning the short visit with Bob Haberlin, this Monday, the 14th of January, 74. He came to work on Noopy's feet. Channel One Riot, and beginning of the short visit with Bob Haberlin, this Monday, the 14th of January, 74.
Well,
sit down just now.
I
got your check
for
you.
There you are.
This morning.
I just been keeping house. I wasn't typing. I'm the housekeeper. And you see who the horse.
Yeah.
Horse. You got plenty to eat these
days? Well, doing all right. I just got me another hog the other day. He's fattening out. And I guess about another month, I'm going to have to get another beef. We're about to run out of that now.
Yeah. No.
Anybody around got any hogs, dude?
No hogs, no.
I want something about 75, 85. Well, 75 and 100 pounds.
You know, I wouldn't know where to get hogs.
I got a pretty nice little one the other day, about 40 pounds. And we'll feed him out, because I've run out of bacon and pork chops and everything. And I got to start buying at the store. Can't stand that.
You can't pay $1 a pound
thing
for that old bacon.
Oh.
I'm going to feed this one out a little longer. I fed the last one. I don't think I got about 13 pounds of bacon out of the last one. And that doesn't last us for, I guess it lasts us about 2 months.
13 pounds?
Well,
that's right. It's my 13
pounds. Let's see. He dressed out about 125 pounds.
Yeah.
It had been, about 175, I guess, somewhere along that.
Let me tell you about Noopy Saunders.
Yeah.
But if she was worked and was at a place where she didn't have all the feed, she wasn't Saunders.
That's right.
So, and she's good for children.
She's rode right regular.
Yes. I mean, she's trained for children, to adults, too. I mean, she's had a lot of training.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be able to swap her off. You keep us in mind.
All right.
They'll tell you that. I don't know. I think it's, something old plug that, you don't remember anybody A. Humphrey, that black horse? Old, 30 years old. I wouldn't say I wanted any more of that like that. Hubert A. Humphrey was exceptional. Horse. He lasted 10 years after we got him, you see. And he'd already outlived ordinary expectancy.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Now, I want to ask you about this. You get around so much more than I do. I called down to turnip seeds this morning. They had one of those shipping overs, sort of stripped down, and that's the reason I called. But, while I talked to him, I thought, now, if he wants to trade for my car, he probably wouldn't want to. But if he did, I could tell him everything about it.
Yeah.
And I can tell him the gas mileage. It gets 15, 16 miles a gallon, and sometimes I think it gets more. But you see, I'm never out of traffic,
right.
So I don't know what it would get.
What it would get on the road.
Yes. Well, I said, now, I'll tell you that, and you can check it out. But now, I'd like to know, if I buy a car from you, I'd like to know what mileage it gets, because that's what I would buy for. And there's no way he can do that.
No.
You can't take a brand new car out and test it.
Well, even the thing about it is, even when you do, your first mileage is not going to be your best. A new car is going to take a little while to break in, and you'll get better mileage later on.
Sure.
I don't mean a whole heck of a lot, but I think when I first started driving that pickup out there, I was getting 13.
Oh.
And now, I've got over 100,000 miles on, I'm getting over 15.
Yeah.
But, of course, I may have gotten better than that even somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But, I'll say this, and I have never had any, I spent, I guess, $25 maybe.
Yeah.
on that truck, and over 100, I got 107,000 miles on it. Now, that lasts most people 10 years.
Yeah.
But,
well,
it's been a real good,
Bob says a Chevelle's all right, but you don't want a Vega.
No. No, those, you know, when you get down too small, that's just what they are. They're cheap, and you'll end up, my ex-wife got a Vega. And nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Constantly. I mean, it just cost her more to try to keep it up than the car. I guess that was the biggest loss she's going to take. Now, this car, you're talking about trading cars. If you could find somebody to use it, you'd get more money for selling yours and buying the other one, you know, without trading. Because they don't use it. What year is that?
64.
Yeah. I tell you, just they might give you $100, but I doubt it.
Yeah, right.
They were 69 Chevrolet. Come in a lot. Today. I do work for a lot of these car dealers. Do blacksmith work. Most of them got horses, and some of them I know real well. It's one of them. That's all he does is he doesn't retail cars out at all. He buys other dealers' cars and sells them to other dealers. Or he goes to the dealer auction, he buys cars and sells them to dealers. So he knows what a car is worth on the wholesale market. And I know I was in there about a month ago, but I came on a 69 Chevrolet. They offered him $300 for it. Said that's as high as they wanted to go. So you take a 64 or anything. Now, your car probably is a lot better than the average, I'll grant you, but they still have a figure that they're not going to go over. I don't care if it looks like it came out of the showroom and runs that way. Mm-hmm. So, I'd like, if you're really thinking about trading, there's a girl down there, and I tell you, they have made me the best offers. Of anywhere, it was a Dodge place down in Ocala, Pool Gable. Of course, I was talking about different type of cars.
Is that Ocala?
Mm-hmm.
Pool Gable? They have a Pool Gable there?
No, I don't mean Pool Gable.
It doesn't matter.
I can't remember. Anyway, it was the Ocala Dodge place. Because I went in and they made me a price on a truck that I wanted. And I was thinking about trading for. And it sounded high. Well, it was high. It was a darn expensive truck. It was what I really want all the way around. Except that now with all this gas situation, I'm not going much anyway. I'm not doing that much. At the time, I was looking at a lot of big tracts of land that were, you know, 9,000, 5,000 acres, and you always had bad areas in them that you needed a four-wheel drive to get to and things like that. But they made me an offer of around 5,000. And I told these people, this friend of mine up in Gainesville about it, he said, they can't sell it that cheap. I said, well, they can too, because that's what they offered it to me for. He said, well, I tell you, that's a darn fair buy. He said, if I had it used on a lot here, I wouldn't take that price for it. So, and they made me some price on a couple others. I decided to back off the truck. Well, then my wife needs a car. So we thought for a while, well, we'll go ahead and get a truck, smaller, lighter truck, something like what I've got there now. Except I want the club cab Dodge. You know, it's got all that much room behind the seat. So I can carry my tools in the back without putting them back there and getting wet.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. You could do that?
Yeah, it's there's about that much room. See, it's just a little bit bigger cab. You know, you got three kinds of cabs. You got a cab like that. Then the Dodge puts out what's called club cab with about that much room behind the seat.
But can you get to it?
Yeah, yeah. See, fold out. In fact, on each side, coming out from the side, you got two jump seats if you want them, where two people could sit facing them in the middle. There's I guess at least that much room between the back of the seat and the cab.
But the easy way to get to it would be to
pull the seat.
Push the seat down.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. And then they got what they call a crew cab, which is a full two-seated cab, four doors. But I just wanted a club cab. So I started dropping down to a smaller one. She offered me one for
$3,400. You couldn't hire me to have a pickup truck unless I had some place to put stuff out of the rain.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably just get a cap for that if I can find one. mounted on any day. I'm saying I will. I sold my big trailer, so I don't need that gooseneck anymore in there. But anyway, every price they have made me down there has been real good. It's been real close. About as close as I think anybody can come. Because I've checked the prices back with other people, with the wholesalers and all, and they've all told me today that is a heck of a price. And
that's a Dodge hotel.
Right. I can tell you a girl named Linda Barefoot. Just like you go out here without any shoes on.
I heard of that.
I've talked to her. Well, I don't. She's a saleswoman there at the Dodge lot.
Oh, she's a saleswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is she?
It's and she's one of the best. She sells out there. But I just, we just backed off all the way for the time being. We got some land.
But does she sell just trucks?
No, she sells cars. In fact, we were doing. I decided to go ahead and let my wife have a new car. Went down, got all the papers, went to the bank with it. I said, well, let's go and get it through. She said, no, I said, I don't want that at all. She just didn't want to make any payments, which I don't blame, because I don't want to take the money we got that we're trying to, buy us, get a place, piece of land.
Yeah.
And
you can't have everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So, she said,
well, why are you such a hurry? We're just going to talk 2 minutes, Faye.
Well.
And here you've got a man that's got some knowledge.
That, I tell you, like I say, they have made the best offer in this. Linda,
this
yes.
tell her I sent you down there. I don't know
Barefoot.
Linda Barefoot. And I wouldn't know really myself. I don't know that much about them, but every dealer I've talked to said you can't, that's the best price. They didn't think they could sell them that cheap. So evidently they're giving a pretty low price.
Hmm.
So I talked to them. And on something like that, dark.
Maybe you could get, yeah.
Or,
maybe
what,
you could get, get him to talk to about that. One of those light cars.
But as far as going down to that Dodge Colt, which is the same as the Vega and the Pinto, I would say stay away from them. Because
the Dart's as low as you, and the Chevelle.
Well, yeah, that's as low as I'd go. And a Dodge Dart will get you usually. Figure about 18 miles a gallon.
As a 6-cylinder?
Yeah, you can get them with an 8, I think, but I would get it with a 6. And just don't put a lot of air conditioning and all that junk on it if you really think about mud. I don't like air conditioning in the first place.
We can't find a Dodge Dart without air conditioning.
Hmm. Well, they can show order one.
What they said in Gainesville was that nobody wanted them without air.
I tell you two reasons I don't want air. One, I don't really think that much about it.
Yeah.
That's three reasons. Two, it runs your cost up so much. And three, every time you got to work on one, I do a little work on my own stuff. I mean, just minor stuff.
Yeah.
Like changing spark plugs. You start sticking air conditioners and all this in there. You got to take things. It's so much harder to work on to get to.
Yeah.
You load all that engine
they
up.
They had to put a fuel pump in the other day, and it took them a couple hours to get the air conditioning stuff
out of the
way.
My daughter's got a car that just changed the spark plugs almost take half a day, and then you got to have special tools to do it. You can't get to them. You got to take this compressor off. You got to take this thing off and that thing off.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to practice that engine down before you can even change a set of spark plugs. And then it is the most aggravating thing in the world to work on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless you, of course, if they don't come but one way, I guess. But I'm sure you can order them without.
Oh, you keep in touch with them. What model is yours? What year?
My pickup?
Yeah.
72.
Well, you don't have any pollution
on
it.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
All the 72s and 73s all have pollution.
I was listening. Oh, fell down here at the service station. His truck, we stopped down, we were looking at cows. And it started back up, it was kind of missed. They looked at it, I said, well, here's the line off. He said, no, that's that air polluting line, so leave it off. It don't do very good. But if they would boost up the gas mileage, work on making them more efficient as far as running, you would cut down the air pollution. I mean, just.
Mm-hmm.
It stands to reason, if your gas is more efficient, if you're burning it more efficiently,
yeah,
you won't have as much waste coming out.
Yeah.
But now they're not doing that. and they've got so much emission on it. So they put down emission controls, which takes more gas, and just it's just a
makes sense.
A vicious cycle.
What kind of heat do you use in the house?
No, using natural gas, man. Bottle gas.
With a thing like that?
No,
you've got a space heater.
It's built in. It's in the trailer. So
yeah.
What we got now. It's in the trailer. And,
I'll tell you, this thing here, it wastes the fuel. It doesn't. It goes up the stack or something.
Yeah.
I saw one down at MacDuff's. It was one of those standard heaters, space heaters. Schuyler, or what was it? That little bowl in there had a pipe coming up right in the middle of it, just about like that. And then it had a rim up here, and it started burning down here and got hot and atomized the gas and then burned up around this rim.
Sounds like some English, something put out in England.
Oh, no. It's just standard. It's just a standard.
Because the English have got very, very efficient heaters.
Oh, really?
I've seen some. I had one time. Boy, they're very efficient. They throw a lot of heat.
Well, what I was thinking about, what I was thinking about is, anything goes wrong with that, I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah. That's all trouble with a lot of this stuff.
And that is a little bit more complicated, those valves back there. A little bit more complicated. Now, if you want to go a little higher, they've got those pipes in there that's circulated.
Yeah.
So you get keep your hot air down there longer, and then a fan, of course, it blows on them. And they run. I priced one. It was around 50,000 BTUs for $250. Well, they don't seem to think $250 is anything anymore. Down here at Shell, old Aaron Miller's stand down there at Ocala, I don't think they start less than $350. And what it amounts to, I don't know, you see, because I don't know about them. But you don't have to worry about that. You've got gas.
Yeah. Well, when I build my house, which I hope will be in the next few months, start building it. I don't know. I think I'm going to put pipes in the floor. I guess I'll have to pull a floor of the type of house I'm building. I hope to build. I think I'll put pipes in the floor and build me a fireplace and put pipes through that fireplace so that the water will, when you got your fireplace going, of course a lot of heat goes up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got pipes running up all through there, then your heat is going, I mean, you collect more heat through those water pipes and then circulate it through the floor.
Yeah.
And you can keep a house, if you get that floor warm,
yeah,
your house will be warm.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't have to throw a lot of heat into it. It'll stay.
You know, one thing I noticed about, now I'm not mechanical,
I'm going to build a solar heater, too. We used to have them when I was a kid. You ever seen one?
Yeah.
Solar water heater? It's a big old, yeah, you can come any size. I think ours used to be about as long from here to the wall over there, about that wide. And you set it up. You'd set it up here, like on an angle like this, facing towards where the sun would normally be. I mean, it's not very efficient in the morning over here and the evening over here, or... Well, that's fairly efficient one time, but it's copper tubing run back and forth, and then the whole back surface and the tubing is painted black, and it's glassed over, of course, just like one. And that heats your water, and I'll tell you what.
The
first place I can remember, we didn't have anything but that, and that water then would flow just because of the heat pressure into a tank.
Oh.
That was very well insulated. We would have hot water for 3 days, just about 3 days, if the sun didn't come out at all.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We would still, of course, you know, in those days you kind of conserved a lot of those things. But then if you couple that through an electric heater, you'll always have hot water and use very little electricity.
Yeah, that's right. Well, now this is something that doesn't cost anything. I mean, it requires no maintenance or no brain at all. One of these things needs to be heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
The metal heats and holds the heat. And you've got light metal, it just cools like that, you see.
Yes, thanks.
It keeps it burning all the time. Now you take those little red hots, you see, they'll heat up in a jiffy, they'll also cool in a jiffy. And if you get one that's made out of metal, the old cast iron, I suppose,
yeah.
it's a whole different proposition.
Yeah.
I'll see you.
Yeah, I got to go to the bank for it. Before I get loose.
Well, I tell you what, thank you for this, Linda Barefoot.
Well, I tell you what, just do me one favor. I think your car probably in pretty good shape, isn't it? If you go to trade with them, give me a call because I might just buy your car out. I mean, as long as it doesn't cost any more. In fact, I just, of course, what they do, and I lay back when I just got out of high school, I wanted to buy my first car. I said I'd give you. It was an old 36 Chevrolet, I think, 39, something like that. She said, I'll sell it to you for $150. Boy, I was going to jump on it. But then she comes back. She says, no, I'd already traded off. Said they gave me $500-something for it. I said, you know what that was? They didn't give you $150 for it. They didn't give you much anything
for
it.
More for the
they just see they've got a sticker price on that on the window, but that's about 20% more than what they would take.
Oh, really?
I said I could have given you $150 for your car, and you'd gone in and paid cash. I bet you you'd have had $75 extra over what you got now. So I mean, they may offer you $1,000 for it, but I guarantee you,
Definitely. All
they've done is use that sticker price. Because I went in there, the car list for $5,500 right down there. Well, any of them, they're all the same way. I said, how much can I buy for cash at 44? About $1,000 off.
Well,
no trade.
This is what Eddie says. You say, what can I buy for cash?
And I mean, then you say, what do you trade?
Go ahead, you're in a hurry.
You say, what do you trade? Then they say, $150.
We got our business right there.
Okay.
Well, I got to get moving. Wait for a dog of mine. Got to go to the bank. Hey, Bill. Well, thank you, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. You got a check?
Would you?
Well, we'll check with you.
Channel 1 right and around 300, 400 maybe. And the end of this short talk with Bob Haberlin, this Monday the 14th of January, 74. Around Channel 1 right, around 300 or 400, and the end of this short visit with Bob Haberlin in the kitchen. This is Channel 1 right around 300 or 400, and the beginning of the visit with J.R. Mountain this Saturday afternoon, 19th of January, 74. Channel 1 right around 300 or 400, the end of Bob Habershant, this Haberland, this Saturday afternoon, the 19th of January, 74. Channel 1 right around 300 or 400, and the beginning of the visit with J.R. Mountain this Saturday afternoon, the 19th of January, 74.
Can you give me an ashtray or something? I don't want something on your floor. And,
Who's with you?
Okay. I'm by myself.
Confound.
Why, she wanted to clean up the house. I told her, I said, well, I want to come down and see you.
Well, I've been, let me tell you, Jay, I would have stopped by over there to see what happened to you. But I haven't hardly been off the place.
I've been right there at the house. I ain't been nowhere.
We're two of a kind, aren't we?
Ain't been nowhere since December the 20th.
Well, that's a fine thing.
Right down the house.
Yeah?
Couldn't go nowhere. Couldn't walk.
You had something?
Yeah, I had an operation on my leg.
Oh,
you know, I was telling you about a get out and you can't get up?
Yes, but I didn't know you was thinking about anything like that. Didn't
know anything until, I think it was 18th, which leg it was. The leg that wasn't hurting me was the one that was what wrong. The one on the left wasn't nothing wrong with it, but the one on the right was.
Now,
ain't that something?
That is.
In other words, I don't understand that part of it myself.
The damn thing got crossed up,
and the doctor was working on the left-hand side. He wasn't working on the right-hand side. And on December, I think it was 18th, let's see, 18th. It was about the, no, it wasn't 18th either. Let's see, it was on Thursday or on Friday. It was on Friday. Friday is when he found out what was wrong with me. And then he operated on me on the following flight, Friday. But I went in the hospital on Tuesday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I went in the hospital on Tuesday. And I worked up until Tuesday at dinner time. And then I was supposed to be in the hospital by 3 o'clock. And they didn't operate on me until the Friday coming. But they had to run some tests on me.
Oh, yeah.
And they still going to run some tests. In other words, I got to go back in there January the 7th. The 4th, got to go back on the 4th, and they'll do something else to me on the 7th. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Say it, they think that, they thought at first I had sugar diabetes. But I ain't got no sugar diabetes. In other words, my sugar was high, but I didn't have no diabetes.
Huh.
But in other words, they said if I would lose some weight, well, I'd get along a whole lot better. So I went on a diet today. Can't have but so much of this and so much of that and so much of the other. And I told my wife, I said, me and you both are going. She weighs about as much as I do. I mean, she weighs more than I do.
She's healthy.
Yeah, she's healthy. Well, I am too. There's nothing wrong with me except hurting all the time. I do that hurting. There's them, them calluses on both sides of my leg was busted. That's from that fall. I had June the 29th.
Whereabouts is that?
That's out there on I-75.
I mean, on your leg, what's that?
That's in my knee.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, the other one's hurting. Just now the other one started hurting again. It was hurting before. And it's done started hurting again since this other one's been operated on. But Dr. Sam says that I'm standing on it more than I am on the one that's been operated on. Because the one that I've been operated on hurts showing up. It hurts all the time. But it's slacking up to what it was. In other words, at night, when it first operated on, after I got out of the operating room and everything, I couldn't sleep at night. Saved my life. Daytime, either one. The best way I could sleep was sitting up. And I sat in a chair, and a chair my wife bought me, one of those beanbag chairs, and I could sleep in it all I wanted to. And I slept sometimes 2 or 3 days at a time.
What they call that, granddaddy chairs?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they are nice. Even got a vibrator on them.
No, this ain't got no vibrator. It's just one that you just lean it back just any kind of way.
Yeah.
Lean back and sit up any kind of way.
Yeah.
Of course, I probably ain't no use buying that thing. I can sit in anything. No. Had that wet hole and slip. Got a gash on my leg. That by the side of my leg about that long. 169 stitches. That's what I counted. I don't know how many
they took out.
Hmm?
That they took out, you say?
No, 169 stitches. Stitches in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It up.
That many?
Yes, and it's placed about that long.
That they opened up?
Yeah. Looked like to me that the way they cut it, that they just laid my kneecap and everything back. That's what it looked like. But now, when I first seen it, after they started, they took the stitches out, the thing was kind of underneath my leg. Now, where you think it's at? Just about on top of my knee.
Never seen
possible, has it? No. In other words, when they first took the stitches out, I got a thing on right now. But when they first took the stitches out, the thing was from right along there, around back this way.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Now they're rotting things way up here. Way over here. Now ain't that something?
Yeah.
It moved from under here to way over here. They must have had my leg high twisted or something.
Yeah.
That guy should come from right along there. We up here.
And it looked like they just laid it back.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. It starts over here and it kind of comes in an angle and comes this way. Like that.
Now that didn't all start over there on I-75.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's when that started. That's when the knee business started, but this getting up and getting down, that started a long time ago. 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Where did that get you?
Where did that get me?
Well, huh?
Well, I was down in my back.
Is that where it is?
Yeah,
in
my hip.
In your hip?
Yeah, and I ain't down my hip no more.
So you don't...
I believe that whenever I get straight, I'll be all right.
But why didn't you hip at all?
No, it wasn't my hip. But since I've been operated on, I do have something over here on this left side that hurts. Just like if they might have put me in something to operate on me.
Yeah.
Like there might have been a belt or something went around me.
Yeah.
So it's right there about my belt line is where it hurt me at.
Yeah.
But you know, it don't hurt nothing what it did. About slacked up on that. And my ankles don't hurt me no more. Now this knee over here hurts a little bit, but he can't find nothing wrong with it. He's x-rayed it, and he's done this, and he's done that, and done the other, and given me all kind of shots, and even tried to see if it was any fluid under my kneecap. There wasn't none under there. But what the main thing was this right leg, the collar. They call them carlosses or something like that. And the two straps...
Cartilage.
Cartilage. In other words, the two straps...
Now, I don't know what it is, but I just know the word.
Mm-hmm. It's got two straps on each side of my leg that holds your foot straight and your leg straight. And them two straps, even them two straps on each side was broke off. In other words, when he asked me, he says, is that right leg over there hurting you? I said, no, sir, but I said, it did too. It has hurt me. And he grabbed it and done it the same way he done the left one. What he's been doing is, I've been sitting up on the table, see? He'd take my leg and go around like that and come out, go around like that, and it wouldn't pop. But old boy, when he grabbed that right one, and he done that, I thought I'd die. Man, I hurt all over. I mean, my shoulders, my neck, everything hurt.
Yeah.
And, but, but that, that, he turned my leg, my foot, just turned it right around backwards. I don't know what made it do that, but I've been noticing that a long time. That I could turn my foot way around like that.
Yeah.
Just take it and turn it around there.
And well,
he turned it completely around.
He didn't what?
He turned my leg completely around. In other words, he'd like my foot points this way.
Yeah.
Just took it and turned it right on around with me, looking back the other way. He said, did you know that? I said, no, sir, I didn't know it.
Is that the cartilage?
That's the cartilage that's broke. Both of them, one on one side and one on the other.
You didn't know what had happened to you, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't know what had happened to me.
Didn't you go to a doctor?
Yeah, I've been going to him all the time.
Oh.
But he been working on me on the left-hand side. And my shoulder up here, I still got something right there on top of my shoulder. Yes, sir. That's where I fell. Fell out of that truck. You see, as I was coming down, I don't know how that wristwatch, that hand there, got in that mirror. But it got in the mirror, and it tore my wristwatch band clean off whenever I got in that door. And as I come right on down, and I hit out there on that pavement on my knees.
Well, a little weight.
And a little weight right along with it.
Yeah. God almighty, yeah, that makes me... That gives me the willies, you know. That could happen to anybody.
That can happen to anybody.
I tell you, I was over here, we was making solids. I made solids out here. Mm-hmm. Old Noah Offord there we had his truck, and I was sitting right up there on the cab. And that Oh, yeah. What was it? What was it? Something on the silage cutter come around and hit me. I was sitting right there on the cab there, and that he cut too sharp. I kind of forget the picture, but it hit me right here and just knocked me square dab ground there on the ground flat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it happened, you see, it was dirt.
Yeah.
And it was plowed ground. But suppose
that didn't hurt you so much.
But suppose it had been that pavement.
Suppose it had been pavement out there. You ain't no telling what had happened to you.
Well, you know. It busted my knees and...
Mm-hmm.
In my hip, or anything else.
It might hurt you most anywhere. You can't ever tell.
Well, I didn't do it. He did it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do it on purpose.
Mm-mm.
You know, it just cut sharp on him.
Yeah.
He's on the tractor. I can't picture that. I'll get that.
Well, I can't hardly picture how I fell out of that truck. And don't know yet how come it'll fall out. Unless, in other words, I wasn't in the truck that I've always been driving. I was in one of them tall ones. It's a bigger than butt screws. And the running board, you step out on the running board. And then you step down on another one, and then you step down on another one, and then you're on the ground. There's three steps from the up there where you sit down to the ground.
In a truck?
In a big old butt-nosed truck. It was bigger. They wasn't no little ones. And them butt-nose trucks, you set about, I say, close 10 feet off the ground. You way up young.
I never been in one of them.
Well, they got them out that state. But that I drove, they got rid of it. I heard the other day they got rid of it. They traded in. In other words, what they are supposed to have done on that top step up there, they are supposed to put a piece of what the stuff, I don't know, it looks like emery wheel stuff. Your foot ain't supposed to skid on it. And that's what happened. Whenever my foot, I stepped on that thing, out my foot went. It was in the morning, see, when the truck was wet. And ain't no telling what else was on that running board. I don't know what was on it. Might have been oil, and that water made it slip. And whenever I stepped out there, well, just like that.
It just
happened all of a sudden,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That. And then I reached up to get the door to keep stop my fall, see. And did I got my hand hung in the between the mirror and the door somehow or another. Whichever got a hold of this and tore it loose, see.
Yeah.
And of course my hand was skint there, and I got a funny feeling right in there. Which it itches, just like there's something up down in my fingers there. It might have pulled loose, but I don't worry about that. But that sudden fall, you just don't know. I could have hit one of them running boards as I went down on my back. I don't know. But where I heard that more than anywhere else, all the time from June the 29th up until December the 15th, the worst was in my knees. My ankles didn't hurt, my feet didn't hurt, but it was my knees and the left hip and my shoulder. And my shoulder, right now, I can pick up take a 5 gallon bucket of dirt. And I can reach down there and get it and pick it up, and the very minute I get it up, well, it feels just like my muscle just turns the wrong side out with me. That ain't right. But I told Dr. Sam about it day before yesterday. I said, I can't pick up hardly anything in my left hand. And I said, at night when I'm sleeping, I can wake up and I'll be on my left side. And that shoulder, I can reach up there and there's a knot right up there on top of it. And that knot be just as sore as anything you ever seen. And I can't sleep on my right side. I can sleep on my back and on my left side. That's the only way I can sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to have a pillow between my legs. Like, say, from my knee, just for, say, about that far from my knee, all the way to my toes. If I don't have it there, I can't sleep. My knee won't let me. Man, you talking about something hurting? That thing hurt. It feels just like that somebody's out there on the end of my foot, or my heel and my foot, and just a pulling down on it. That's what it feels like. And I just can't lay that knee up on anything. And I can't lay on the right side. That's when it sure enough does hurt. It just feels like it's laying off the side of the bed down like that and somebody pulling on it. Let me go out here and get me a coughing tank. You want to go outside?
I haven't got one today.
I got some out here in the truck. The heater doing all right?
Yeah.
Heating up the heat?
Yeah. Heating up the heat.
I'll be back in a minute.
Were you cooking collard greens out in the back porch?
Sure am.
Yard everywhere.
Sure.
So whenever I go out there to sit, well, I just go out there and sit, but out of time. No, I got me a chair. I got one in behind the house, one over there on the west side of the house, and one on the east side, and got two out there in the garage. These old. Like them chairs you got out there?
Yeah.
And I sat. I ain't done nothing here lately but sit. I went fishing yesterday for the first time.
Yeah.
Didn't catch nothing.
Well, God almighty, if I'd known it, I'd come away and get a little time.
Yeah, you could come over there and we could talk a little bit.
Well, I might pick up a little something, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We got into
I think it was last Saturday. I had the mower out from under my tractor. I got one of the little bitty tractors. I showed it to you, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I had the mower out.
That was a long body to it.
Yeah, body light hair on it. I took me from 9 o'clock Saturday morning till I think it was 4 something before I got the thing back under there. In other words, I'd work about 5 minutes on and had to sit down. Man, I don't know why it is. I just ain't worth 2 cents. Can't do nothing.
Well, now that hospital stuff ain't gonna make you feel any better for a while.
I know it ain't. He told me it'd take a little while to get straight. And he told me I want you. He also asked me, how far can you walk without giving up? I said about 50 yards. I said 50 yards at the most. But the other day, let's see, last Sunday morning, wife and them being my boys done got in. And all of us, we went to church last Sunday morning. And I walked up there, but I couldn't walk back. They had to go up there in the car and get me. I couldn't walk back to the house, but I had to.
And you never thought that'd happen to you.
I never thought that'd happen. And I say whenever they took the stitches out of my leg, well, that was 3 weeks ago. It's been about 3 weeks ago. They took the stitches out and they told me, said, now you can walk all you want to. And as far as you want to. Yeah, that'd be that much better. And I walked exactly 2 days. It put me right back in the bed. Well, back then, it didn't put me in the bed. I stayed in the bed quite a bit, but I would get up and sit down on the couch. And my son-in-law brought me one of them big round leather things, about that big around, about that high. And it was just about that much higher than the couch. And that was just right. And I put my leg up there, and of course, the wife get that long pillow. Put it up, yeah. And I got set there I'd set there from say about 8 o'clock in the morning till 12. And then I didn't eat no dinner. The only time I'd eat anything I'd eat supper. And didn't eat much of that. And I haven't eaten nothing, the mountain nothing, here lately. Now, I weighed 235 pounds when I went in there, in the hospital. And when, say, in 3 weeks' time, I'm down to 205 now.
That's
losing, ain't it?
That's going down pretty well.
That's what's called losing in a hurry.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the hospital, they fed me, but that stuff did not hurt.
Yes.
It turned out to be hard.
Yeah.
A little bit. Man, I could let some real angel. Yeah. And see, now, I can't eat no candy. I can't eat no anything that's got starch in it.
Hmm.
Eat no potatoes. No. Well, I need one iced potato a day, or a sweet potato. But it'll have to be boiled. It can't be fried. No fried food at all. And as good as I like old sow belly and old white bacon, and can't eat a bit of it.
I don't know. It looks like that's the first thing they take you out off of. And I just don't understand that.
I eat a piece of steak today. I don't know whether it wasn't fried. It was put out there on the grill.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I could even eat it, but I did. Son-in-law and my daughter had us over for dinner today and wanted to know if I'd go over at 11 o'clock and build a fire with those charcoal briskets, see? And wanted me if I'd go over at 11 o'clock and build a fire and they'd cook them at 12. I said, yeah, I'd go over and do it. So I went over at about 11 o'clock and I got the thing going good. And then, of course, I was at the house sleep. I sleep more than anybody ever seen in your life. I can be riding down the road. And I get sleepy. I just pull off on the side of the road and go to sleep. Sleep about 30, 40 minutes.
Is that right?
If I don't, I'll go to sleep on the wheel.
How long has that been?
How long has that been going on? Ever since I've operated on?
Yeah. Oh.
In fact, Dennis, for the past week, yeah. Week and a half. For the past week and a half, the only time I've been out.
Well, let me tell you, I'm no doctor, but part of that could be that after all this excitement, you just relax.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't doing anything, so. You know, you'd think a fella, if he just was sitting around that and sort of dozing all along, that he'd get tired dozing. But you know what it does, you get sort of relaxed and you can just doze along anytime.
Anytime you want to.
Yeah.
A lot of time when you don't want to, I'd be sitting out in the yard and doing something to my old tractor or something, and all of a sudden sitting up there in that chair and I'd be asleep. I don't know how long I slept up there, but it didn't make no difference. I didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I did sleep in, it was mostly when I was sitting on that couch.
Yeah.
And I'd have my leg up there and it wasn't hurting me. Well, then I'd just doze off and go to sleep. And night time we'd be looking at television and be sitting up there asleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you was over here and you kept saying, you know, that you wasn't about to be a monkey up on the house, and I thought that you had hit the ground pretty hard. I thought that you was up on a stepladder somewhere, and maybe the thing
took a notion go the wrong way,
and you sort of hit the ground, knocked the breath out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never had it, and you're a little heavy, you know, and I figured, well, I didn't figure anything particular.
Well, let me tell you something else happened. In other words, it's on the same thing. Well, see, I made out a accident report on June the 29th about the same thing. And they want to know just exactly how I hit and everything. Of course, I told them. And the best I knew how to tell them. And I had went to that office up there 3 different times to get, in other words, to give you a slip to go to the doctor. Well, the man told me I told him the first time I went there for a slip, he said, "Miss Brown, I can't give you no slip." He said, "You're changing doctors in the middle of the stream." I said, "Wait a minute, you're wrong." I said, "Where you wrong at?" I said, "I asked for Dr. Sam, and I didn't get Dr. Sam." And I said, "That's just exactly who I asked for." And I said, "That doctor that called himself saying that he'd done something to me, he ain't done a thing to me, because I didn't let him." I told him, I said, "Now, if that's the best you can do, I don't need no doctor. I just forget about it." But in the meantime, I had, in those 2 weeks' time, I had to wait 3 weeks before I could see Dr. Sam.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Well, I had an appointment with Dr. Sam, and it took 3 weeks to get the appointment finished, see? All right? That's one time that he refused me of giving me a slip to go to the doctor. All right, and about a week or 2 weeks, I went in there again. And I said, "About to get another slip." I said, "I'm going to Dr. Sam. He's checking up on me to see what's the matter with me." And he said, "Well, Miss Mountain, I'm very sorry, but we can't give you no slip on that." And says, "Mr. Burleson said that he wasn't paying any more bills. He done paid one for $63. I said, "$63 for what?" I said, that doctor didn't do nothing to me. And I said, that name on that slip you got right there, that paper, that doctor, I ain't never seen that doctor. And I ain't never heard of that doctor's name before in my life. And his name was Shear or something like that. It wasn't exactly Bashir. It was a peculiar name, but it sounded like that. But he was a Chinese. And I says, I told him right to his face, I said, "You ain't gonna do nothing to me." But before, when that first, Nora had fell off a ladder herself, and she thought she'd broke her knee. Well, it was swollen up. And so me and her both went in at the same time. I thought maybe that if I went to the emergency room, I could get Dr. Sam right quick back. And I wouldn't have to wait that other week to get my appointment. So me and her both went in there. And we had x-rays made. And my x-ray said wasn't nothing wrong with it. And Noah's x-ray said her knee was broke. But they had... Now you take J.R. Mountain Jr. and J.R. Mountain. Didn't say Mrs. J.R. Mountain. It just Mrs. Nolan Mountain or nothing like that. It had J.R. Mountain, J.R. Mountain Jr. See, all right. They got my x-rays mixed up with hers. Her knee wasn't broken. It was just sprained. I'm the one that had the broken knee. And see, I went for that time that we went in at 2 weeks after the 29th, see, of June. That's when the next day showed that I had a broken knee. Something was broke about it. Well, Dr. Sam got them prints and everything, them pictures, and he seen in that picture that one, there was something wrong with one of my legs. But the picture didn't say which leg. Well, they x-rayed both my legs. And in fact, business, every time that machine, when that woman pushed over and got it right over me, and that thing was about that far from my leg, and I know good and well when I'm looking at something, I can tell whether it's going to move or not. But whenever she would turn that machine loose, that thing moved about that much. It moved at least that much. Well, that thing wasn't shining. See, they got a cross mark in there. That they put it right on top of your, say, for instance, this spoon right here. That place right there would be your knee. All right? That thing's supposed to be right over it. But the very minute she turned that thing loose, that rotten thing done like that, and it wasn't even on that place at all.
And you noticed that?
And I noticed it. And I told Dr. Sam, excuse me, I told Dr. Sam, I said, every time she would x-ray me up there, I said, that rotten thing up there moved about 2 inches. He says, I don't see how it could do it. I said, well, it did. And somehow or another, that he had the x-ray machine men from Miami or Jacksonville or somewhere. And they did find out that that thing was moving. In other words, there's a lot of people that went in there that was x-rayed. They didn't pay no attention to that thing moving. But I did.
And they got the wrong, x-rayed the wrong spot.
That's right, they x-rayed the wrong spot. And whenever they x-rayed me up here on my shoulder, where do you think they x-rayed me at? Way over here. In other words, the picture, the edge of the picture was right about my shoulder here. Because Dr. Sam told me about it. And he said, now you just keep quiet about this thing, about what happened. He says, whenever all this thing is over with, says, you just file suit. It's Lockwood General Hospital. Says, I'll stand up by you. So you know you can't tell that bunch over there nothing. Sidney Martin, he's another one. You can't tell him nothing. He knows it all.
Sam said that?
That's what that's what Dr. Sam said. That's one man want to get him out of there. Him and two, three more that's in there. They're just running that thing just like they want to run it. And also, when I went there to say the third time that guy, the fellow by the name of Thomas at the office for another slip to go to the doctor. He said, well, so this makes the third time you've been here and you ain't gonna get no slip. I said, well, Dr. Mr. Thomas, I said, I tell you what I come here for this time. I come here for a slip and also I'm gonna get it. I said, I may not get it right this minute, but I said, I'll get it for Tuesday morning. If you've got anything you want to bet on, just throw it down on the table. I said, I'm going to be operated on. I'm going to be operated on next Friday. And I said, you're going to pay for it. And you're going to be glad to pay for it. And I said, I know stuff on you that just won't wait. I said, I'll put you clean out of this office. And anybody else that's in here, I'll put them out right along with it. And what I done, I went to the big boy. And the biggest one up there is Brown.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, I went there and told him. I told him what the inspector, the DOT safety man was supposed to have done to that truck that I fell out of. It's supposed to have been done over 6 months ago. And it ain't done right now. I said, I'll bet you can go out there and look at it. And I'll bet you that safety strip that's supposed to be on them running boards ain't on there. And I said, it's supposed to have a big light up on top of it that turns around so when we're out working in the middle of the road somewhere that people can know that something going on down there where we're working at. I said, it ain't on there. But I said, anytime one of those other trucks around there want one of them things, they got them. But anytime any truck that belongs to me has got to have one, I said, it ain't on there. And I said, the brakes don't work right on the truck, the motor don't run right, nothing don't work right.
And here, you're a mechanic, as if you didn't know anything any better.
And see, I ain't supposed to mess with it. I ain't supposed to work on a rotten old truck. I said, I'd fix the thing. I said, here I am a mechanic, a first class one. I said, I've done forgot more than some of them guys will ever learn. And I said, I ain't gonna take nothing off of y'all. So I went out on the road. I had a little work that had to be done out on the Orange Heights Road. And first thing I know, here come Mr. Brown. But he was going the opposite, going the same way I was going. And of course, when he got right in front of me, well, I just pulled the lights and blinked them back in two and stopped him. Of course, he knew I was in a DOT truck. And he stopped and I pulled off on the side of the road. And I put on my blinkers to be blinking while I was talking to him. And I said, there's another thing. I said, there, that truck's supposed to have blinkers on it. Working. I said, they don't work either. Lights, ain't got no lights on it either. Ain't got nothing on it. And he said, I told him all about them three times that I went in there to get a slip to go to the doctor. And I said, Mr. Brown, I'm in bad shape. I said, I don't know whether I can make it through today or not. I said, I heard it. And I said, from that fall that I had. And he says, well, Mr. Mountain, I tell you what you do. He said, in the morning, that was on a Thursday, he said, in the morning, said, you come to the office, and I see you get a slip. And I went in there the next morning, that was on Friday, and you know that guy didn't come to work. No, sir, some of them told me around that he was out sick, he was sick. I said, he's going to be sick on that when I get through with him. I said, he's going to be sick on that when I get through with him. And so the following Monday, well, see, I was supposed to go in the hospital on Tuesday. But Monday, they sent out there on the road and got me. And gave me a relief man. And brought me into the office. I signed up all these papers and everything to go in the hospital to be operated on. And that guy, when I walked in, they shook my hand. I said to myself, have you turned over a new leaf, didn't you? I said, the big boy must have got a hold of you. I'll never find out what happened. There's something sure happened right there, and I ain't joking. In other words, they've been doing everybody that way.
Oh, have they?
Yes, sir. There's a man on the job out there, and today is Saturday. He can't be working today. But he's worked. He fell off of a truck out there and broke his arm here and there and right there. Three places. And you know, he ain't missed a day. And that arm is hurting him so bad, he don't know what in the world to do. And I told a man, wasn't yesterday, it was Thursday. I told him, I said, that man is crazy to go back to the job and go to work. I don't care if he's got a dozen pins in his arm. If that thing is bothering him, that's what workman compensation is for. Now, but here's something else. I found this out. That he wasn't on the job when that happened. So you, when you, at 8 o'clock comes, you are on the job. But at 6:30 in the morning, you're not on the job. But it happened there on the place. He was tussling with a fella up in the back of a truck with a steel bed in it. And he fell off of that truck and hit on the corner of the body somehow or another and broke his arm all to pieces. And they rushed him to the hospital. And see, they got him to the hospital before 8 o'clock. But they still, they got his hospital bill and everything being paid by workman compensation. Now you see that? They don't, I don't guess they think I know that, but I know it. I found it out. And you take here something else. I ain't supposed to, say for instance I had 8 or 10 prisoners on my truck and I was taking them out working them. And I brought them over here at your field and you had a, say, 25 rows of corn you wanted gathered. And you was going to give me that corn to gather. Did you know I can't bring them in here and they go out there and gather that corn if you are going to give it to me? Did you know I couldn't do that?
No.
That's private property.
Oh, yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
You ain't supposed to carry them men on private property.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the way I think about this same thing here is that this big shot, Brown, he knows that I know that that men out at that camp has been carried on private property and worked. Because there's a pond out there on Noonan's Lake that's supposed to be private property, belongs to Sid Robinson. You may know it. But he had a pond out there that he didn't give it to the state. He gave it to Mr. Brown. He gave the pond to Mr. Brown, see? All right, they called it the sod field. Well, it was about 4 acres. 4 acres of pond was about 4 acres. And it had a little bit on one side of it, an old grass in there. And that grass wouldn't stick together if they had to. You cut it for sod. And, of course, we went out there and got sod. It's supposed to be sod. And when you take that machine and cut the sod about that wide and strips about that long, then when you go to get it up, it all falls pieces. Well, what good is sod like that? It ain't worth 2 cents. If it don't stay together, you ain't no use messing with it. And he had those prisoners instead of him putting a, say, a job order, we work by a job order, all right? Say, for instance, that the job order was 2536, all right, on this here sod field. So that sod field had a number, and it wasn't under, it was sod field, all right, but it was I-75. Rest area. That's what number they were using. And they called that the sod field. It wasn't the most sodden I am. And see, he knew that I knew that, see. That he did, that them prisoners didn't have no business out there. Them prisoners didn't even want to go out there. And they refused to go out there. But somehow or another, there was two men carried them out there anyhow. And they dug up stumps and they cut down trees and they done everything imaginable around that pond. Of course, the water wasn't up. They done drained the pond. And of course, they went in there with chainsaws and cut them trees down and toted them thing, old logs out of there and snaked them out somehow or another. Now, the pond is all clear of mud and everything. He goes out there and he plants San Augustine grass all the way around the pond.
And
huh?
Brexit.
Yeah, I mean, fixed it up first class. Now, he claimed he had a 20-year lease on it. But I'll bet you in the next 6 months, in the next three to six months, he'll give it back to Sid Robinson.
No.
Sure he will. And all that fence and everything that went around that place belonged to the state.
Yeah.
There was 400 posts disappeared mid-air. Nobody knows who got them. Well, I know who got them. And there was 24 rows of barbed wire that just walked off. It's right out there, that sod deal. It went around that pond. The post, the wire and everything, where it went around the pond. Because I went out there and put up I call it a dead nigger. Well, you got a post there that you don't want it to move. And it's in the corner. Like, say, there's a fence comes this way to that post, the fence goes this way. See, and you put that, fix that post where it can't move neither way. A lot of them said to me, says, we done put wire on that post, and that post just won't stay in the ground. I says, I'll bet you $1,000 I'll make it stay in the ground, and I guarantee you a bulldozer couldn't get it up. The man sent me out there, and I think it was 6 prisoners, and went out there and put that post down about 2 feet deeper than they had it, with which we got another post that was long enough. And then I put me a, say, that this is that post. Well, I had the fence went this way, and then it come this way, see?
Right in the corner.
Yeah, and what I done over here was I put me a post down, and I put it down pretty deep. And I run me a wire from up here to the bottom of this one, and from this one here down to that one there. And then I took me a winder right in the middle, and I wound it up just so tight. Well, I done the same thing over here on this one here, and run my wires back in two, and it was showing up wire too, because it took all we could do to get it on the post. And also up there at the top of the post, backing about that much of the end of the top, we put staples all the way around it where it couldn't get loose. And also cut a little ditch down in it about that deep. And when I got through with that thing, there wasn't nothing could move that post. And they run into it with trucks. They bent fenders all up or run into it, and that post still standing there. The man said to me, he said, I didn't know you could do that. I thought I'd do anything. I don't care what it is. I call it a dead nigger.
What you call it a dead nigger for?
That, huh? That's what we've always called it.
Why do they call it a dead nigger?
Because you can't move after you're dead. I remember way back yonder when some old settlements, settled guys would tell me how to put down a dead nigger.
Yeah.
And they'd tell me, see, see that post right yonder? I said, yeah. See how that fence comes up there to it? I said, yeah. He said, you couldn't move that post you had to.
Yeah.
So them wires have got it. See that wire that's coming down yonder, going up to the top, and that wire from up yonder going down yonder,
yeah.
One of them's holding it down, the other one's holding it up.
Yeah.
Ain't no way in the world for the thing to move. Yeah.
And then you got the fence holding them posts.
Yeah, the fence is holding the post. And two or three of them come out there and look at it and say, I'll bet that post will be up in a week's time. I said, if it comes up, I'll eat it. And I ain't got a tooth in my head. I know I'll have a good time eating it. And it's still there.
You never messed around with out there farming and things like that. Fencing, how'd you ever get into that?
You mean how did I know how to do that?
Yeah.
I used to work for Camp Lumber Company. I used to work for that camp that used to own Payne Square.
Yeah.
All that, a lot of that fence out there goes all the way across Payne Square, I helped put it up.
Yeah, and part of that.
Yeah, man, I put up a many mile of fence.
And part of that was in the was
in the water.
In the water.
I made a rig out of a pitcher pump to put them boats down with. You can take an old pitcher pump and take your put you a good brace around your pipe and have it on the post, and when you shove the post down where you want it at, well, you just prime the old bump and go to pumping. That old post go right on down there. See, whenever your pipe that comes out of your pump will come down just so far and it'll curve and go over to the post and right down inside the post. And see, you got to have your clamps fixed so that you can reach down and unplug, undo them. You can't, you ain't got time to just wait all day of getting the clamp off. You just make you a boat, go through there like that with a wing nut on it. And when you get that, got your post down as far as you want it, then you just back off on the ring nut, pull the thing right off it.
I'd have to see that.
I made a manual. You can take an old pitcher pump, and you can prime that thing, and you can pump water, and you'd be pumping mud all at the same time.
Oh.
Every once in a while, you got to take two boats off on each side, which is the boats come up in a thing like that, and you just loosen them a little bit, and the whole business comes apart.
That way, you just start pumping that pitcher pump. And it pulls the water and the mud
out, and the post goes on down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why in the world, whoever thought that up?
I think there's an old man by the name of Little. His name was Little, and he lived down there just this side of Nigger Schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Seemed like me that he was one that told me about that and then told me how to build it and everything. I built it.
Yeah.
He take back when I was 20 years old. I say 18, 19, 20, till I was 27 years old, I done a little bit of everything. I have flown an airplane.
All right.
I believe I can fly one right now.
So over there, camp, they didn't show you how to use that pitch pump.
No.
You knew that already.
I knew that already. In other words, I told camp, I said, I can make something to put them posts down in that water. And I said, I don't care how big the post is. I said, I can put it down right on. And I put down some for, you take, when a long time ago, this fella Whiting was in the beach business of pumping that white sand out of the pond, way out in the pond, and pumping it up on the bank. Well, we first started off with the old picky pump things. In other words, they like put down a post in white sand, and you could auger down there, but that didn't do no good, because the faster you augered down there, it went right back in there.
Yeah.
And when I worked for Bohanna, I put a dock up. It had about 100 light poles on the dock. Put them down with the same identical thing, old picket pump. But you take a electric pump, it electrocutes you out in that water.
Yeah.
And a gasoline engine, it'll be done selling the pond by the time you get ready to run it a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I come out here, see if I can borrow your tractor.
It's over. I don't know what happened to it. I kept thinking you'd be over here, and it just fell apart. Everything's wrong with it. Couldn't even crank it.
Couldn't crank it.
No, and so I got him to, he had to come over here and haul it over there to the garage service station.
Where's that at?
Over there, it is.
Eddie Phil, who was him?
Yeah.
Reckon they found out what they were?
Well, you never know just when they're gonna get to it. I don't think there's anything serious. It just needs timing.
Mm-hmm.
And that little thing was out of the sediment bug. I don't know whether it needed tightening or it just started leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't work on those things. And then down there on the, I tried to drain the radiator during one of them cold spells. And I kept feeling under there. I've done it many a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the dead burn, you know, it's got a little lip on it, or you turn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that burn wasn't able to turn. I don't know what happened to it.
It's got a little old thing about that long, and when you get a hold to it, in the middle here, it's kind of soldered on there.
Yeah.
And you just turn it, and it just turned, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't let out no water either.
I know, it's all gone. I couldn't turn it.
You mean it done eat all?
I guess so. But I tell you what happened, I let this colored fella use it up there to put in some peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd hurry over here, always late, and he'd just rig it up with some old plows and go up there, and he didn't even get them on there.
Like it's supposed to be.
And I didn't think, well, what he's doing up there, he just heard anything. But you know, them fellas, they're not used to maintaining any machine.
No, they don't give a hoot about it. Just sort of go.
They don't care.
Wasn't old Burnett Patterson.
Oh, no. No. This
one. Don't let him have nothing. Boy, that bunch of tap everything you'd let him have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes, I've seen Burnett.
He tap his own.
Yeah.
And I've seen him go down the road, that old tractor here, just a busting the road wide open.
Yeah. With old tires, it just slick.
I don't see how in the world the plows anything with them as slick as they are.
Well, I'll tell you how. He plows these fields where it's all sand.
All sand.
If he gets into a field where there's some clay or there's something besides sand,
mm-hmm.
he don't slow them up.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a little bit dry, it just throws the plow out of the ground. That's
mm-hmm.
the way he goes.
Well, has your tractor been used to jumping out of time or not?
Oh, no. Oh, every now and then you have to check points.
Really do. And might not be a thing in the world wrong with it.
Just checking.
Points might be just stuck.
That's all.
What kind of tractor is that?
It's a little Ford, about 1952.
Ford.
The 8N.
8N. I imagine them points would be the same, identical same thing as a Ford. Like a Ford automobile. Ain't one way to find out, let's look at them.
That's all.
And I've got any kind of points you want to look at.
Yeah.
I've got, that's a 6 or a 4?
It's a 4.
4. I got a distributor cap for a 4. And rotors, wires, just a little bit of everything. You mind if I go up there and look at it?
No, no.
And see what he's going to do to it?
No.
And if he said he ain't going to do nothing to it, well, I said, well, I'll just come up there and come down and get you, and we'll go up there and get it.
There you go. Yeah, whatever you
want to do. Between me and my son-in-law, we'll fix it.
Okay. How close he live to you?
My son-in-law?
Yeah.
About 100 yards.
Oh, yeah.
He lives in that old home place.
Yeah.
I kept thinking you'd turn up. You know, you said it'd be 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been 3 or 4 weeks, all right.
Yeah, but I ain't been able to go nowhere.
I haven't been off the place.
And if I get it, I ain't gonna let Bobby or him or nobody else drive it. I'm gonna do the driving myself.
Well, you know, I have bad experience with machinery, J.I. Now let me tell you what happens to me. This fella up here, oh, he's gone now, he's moved. He's up there where Phil Patterson lived. He bought that place from Patterson, the big place.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Mark, Jim, he worked on that big trailer place down there. He was going to use my tractor, and what he done is turn it over to his boy. He didn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And his boy was as rough with machinery as anybody I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. He'd try to tear it up.
He'd tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
And how he could be so damn rough with it is far more than I know. Well, now that's the experience I have.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I didn't know, Jim, you talk about... You just never know how many people can just tear up.
They can just get that gun so tear it up.
Yes,
they can.
And you don't even know it.
Don't even know who they are, who you let use it, thinking they're gonna take care of something.
Well, you know, you think.
I went right almost to the end. I took it up off and turned it so I could turn it over at this particular time and not have to come back in here in just a minute or two. At the end of Channel 1 right and the continuation of the visit with J.R. Mountain this Saturday afternoon, 19th of January, 74. Channel 1 right towards the end, almost to the end, and the continuation of the visit with J.R. Mountain this Saturday afternoon, the 4th of 19th of January, 74.